Okay, so Menaka mentioned expert observers. So our next two speakers are those expert observers. So Kelsey Brose is from the Hemophilia Treatment Center in Saskatoon. And this is just to show you that, you know, not all great things happen in downtown Toronto. A province like Saskatchewan can put together a really fantastic multidisciplinary treatment center. So we've asked Kelsey to come and talk about how that happened and how it works.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me today. It was really an honor when David contacted me and said, we'd really like you to come and highlight your program. We think that you do a few things well. We are a small program, so we don't have a huge profile, especially when it comes to research and that kind of thing. But when it comes to actual delivery of care and how we work together, I think there's a few things that we're really proud of that we don't get to talk about that often. So it's great to be in a group like this to share some of our experiences. Down. Thank you. So I'll spend some time talking a little bit about how our program works. I was asked to talk about how our program is formed, because I guess for many of the rare diseases, that is a goal eventually, and to discuss some of our program's successes, but also some of the challenges that we face and how we try to deal with them over time. So I know a lot of people aren't familiar with Saskatchewan, so I just wanted to highlight what it's like to be there. So it's a really large province. It's bigger than the country of France in terms of actual area, but we only have 1.1 million people. So we have a lot of land, but we don't really have much in the way of much else. There's a lot of empty space. Saskatoon is the largest city, so when we go to the metropolis, it is only 300,000 people in the area. Regina is a bit smaller, which is our capital. And Prince Albert, which I'll highlight because it's one of the places that we go to, is further up north. It's the gateway to northern Saskatchewan, but it's only about 36,000 people. And it's cold. So this is what it looks like right now. So it was minus 20 when I left, covered in snow. Oops. And so it's actually a challenge because we do outreach clinics. We drive to Prince Albert. Oh, gosh, I don't know what's going on. Thank you. We drive to Prince Albert. We drive to Regina. And sometimes we all get in the car and then we're trapped on the highway. We can't actually make it to our destination. So logistics is a bit of an issue. Oops. So to describe the type of people that we see, so we're a small program. We only have 318 people actively registered currently. Most of those people actually aren't hemophilia. So even though we're often called a hemophilia treatment program, the most common bleeding disorder that we see is von Willebrand's disease. So hemophilia, both A and B, make up about 38% of our population. And when it comes to actually people with severe hemophilia, the ones who do the self-treatment at home, self-cannulate with IVs at home, do all that kind of thing, it's only about 9%. We only have 29 people in the province who are registered with that. So we sound small, but we're actually really, really lucky in that we have a huge staff. So we have four hematologists, of which I'm one. So we have two adults and two pediatric hematologists. We have three nurses, making up 2.4 FTEs. We have one physiotherapist who's half-time, social worker who's just a little bit about half-time, and then we have tons of other people. So we're really closely associated with genetics. So a genetics counselor comes to her clinic, or if she can't, then she'll make her forms available and provide outside time so that she can meet with people. We have an obstetrician, so once or twice a year we have a women with bleeding disorders clinic. So the gynecologist will come to our clinic, she'll talk to our women about heavy periods, about pregnancy issues and how to plan your family. We have a dentist. They used to come to clinic, but now we have a very close referral system for that. And we also work with a pain consultant for the Saskatoon Health Region. So she does research in pain. She's helped us develop a questionnaire to help improve the way that we ask people about pain, how we deal with it, and how we get them the services that we need. And then to add to that, we also have a facilitator who keeps us organized and helps us plan. He helps us develop our strategies. We have a great manager. And then some really keen office administrative staff, too, who do our bookings and do our statistics and all of that kind of thing. So I think when David came by and did our program review a few years ago, we didn't actually realize how lucky we were until he started to show us some of the numbers across the country. So we're very lucky to have a very good team. He asked us to share some of our resources, too, because I think we're a little bit unique that way. So we do have ambulatory care space, not just in Saskatoon, but in Regina and Prince Albert that we access regularly. We have our own treatment room. So one of our goals is to keep people out of the emergency room because that is a very inefficient place. And what we find is that the people in the emergency don't really know that much about bleeding disorders. So if we can use our own space, it's so much the better. So somebody comes in and they need a quick assessment for a bleeding joint or they need a quick assessment and need treatment, we have our own room in the hospital where we can divert people. And it's much more efficient. So they just call our program and say, hey, I need to come in, and we're sure. So it's very easy. We have a conference room, so if we need to do discussion about blood results, we don't necessarily need to book ambulatory care space. We can just use our own space. So it makes us much more flexible. We have a point-of-care ultrasound machine, which is fantastic. So what we found with that is if somebody comes in and they're not too sure what's going on with their ankle or their knee, our physiotherapist is trained in point-of-care ultrasound, so she'll do the ultrasound right there, and the patient can see what's on the screen and ask questions, and becomes very much back and forth. And what we found is that it really draws people in and helps them make decisions about their care in a much more meaningful way. We have access to outpatient physiotherapist space, which is fantastic. We have 24-hour or nearly 24-hour specialized coagulation testing. We have reimbursed parking. So I know Dr. Pai was talking about driving 6 hours and having to pay for parking, so injury to insult. So actually all of our patients, it's refunded. We have access to emergency funding, so if somebody's in a tough spot and they just can't make it to Saskatoon or Regina, we do have gasoline cards that we can distribute. If they need tranexamic acid, which helps decrease bleeding, we can do a one-time prescription for that free of charge. It's about $100 coverage. And then we also have an after-hours nurse on call. So if a patient has any issues and like, my knee's doing this thing, they can send in a text, this is what it looks like, and we can say, do this at home or maybe get yourself to the emergency room, that kind of thing. So we found that actually more than phone calls is actually a lot of texting, and the imaging is very helpful. So how did we get here? And I wasn't here for part of this, so this information is coming from interviews and documents. And I'd also like to say, even as great as the program is, it's not necessarily me who did it all. I'm standing on the shoulders of the giants who came before me. So in 1999, what happened was it became very clear that Saskatchewan needed a comprehensive care or an integrated care program. And I know that my colleagues had been advocating for that for a little while, but what we find is that just healthcare providers in and of ourselves just don't have the same power of voice as patient organizations. So we partnered very closely with Hemophilia Saskatchewan, which is our patient organization for the province. And it was them, that group, who advocated to the ministry directly. And they were very successful. So we came up with a proposal. So it was a logic model. If you're not familiar with that, basically says these are resources. These are the activities like seeing patients, doing home care, stuff like that, that we do with our resources. These are short, long, medium-term, and long-term outcomes for a final kind of impact. And so we had it all mapped out and ways to measure it and different kind of milestones year by year. And it was actually legislated directly. So our funding, at least initially, did not come through our hospital, did not come through our region. It was a provincial budget line, which is nice. So if our region, which is currently many million dollars in deficit, wanted to cut a program, we were actually fairly safe from that because we came from the province, even though we were housed within the Saskatoon Health Region. And then there was a communication plan, so emails were sent out, there was information sessions, doctor-to-doctor sessions, nurse-to-nurse sessions, and then eventually our first clinic was held in 2001. So we've been around for about 17 years now. A year later, we met for initial feedback, and it was mostly excellent, but there's still some issues. So hemophilia patients were the initial target, and that was wildly successful. I think in the first 6 months, 75% of hemophilia people in Saskatchewan had been identified and had a clinic, but other bleeding disorders were left out. So that became the next focus over time. We only had 1.0 nursing at the time, and there wasn't always somebody available, so that was something that we identified as need for improvement. And completing and submitting treatment logs, which is where the patient has to say, this is how much factor I took, this is the lot number, this is the expiry date, and then submitting that to us for accountability purposes, that was a huge burden, which it still is. So what happened next? Well, this initial year review became an annual event, so it's something that we call Planning Day. And if there's anything that we look forward to year by year and that really drives our program, it's Planning Day. So this is a multi-stakeholder event. So we have ministry officials there, we have CBS officials there, we have patients and the patient organization there, we have transfusion lab, the lab techs, us as treaters, nurses, physios, social therapists. It becomes a fairly large group. But kind of like this group. It's energetic and it's really driven, and there's so much enthusiasm that each time we meet at that annual meeting, it sets the agenda for the next year. So everything in our program is driven through this planning day. So I'll talk a bit about that. So some of the things that came up are that people hate driving 6-7 hours across the entire province to Saskatoon. So we did a bit of analysis. So you can see Saskatoon is considered central Saskatchewan, even though it's a little bit in the south half. And on the graph, you can see the percentage of patients that it drives so many hours. So about 40% drive less than an hour. Most people are less than 3 to 4, but there's a few outliers, like 6 to 7 hours. When we split it up into Saskatoon, Regina, PA, we discovered that actually we have a fair number of people who live close to Prince Albert, and we have a huge number of people who live close to Regina, so why don't we have a three-site model? And so this is what happened with our times after that. Oops. I think I keep pressing something with my finger here. Thank you. There. So after developing a three-site model, we discovered that we had a huge reduction in the travel burden just to get to our clinic. So almost, like, well over 95% of our people now is within 2 to 3 hours, which in Saskatchewan terms is a day shopping trip. So that people are very enthusiastic about that. So other things, so this is what started the Women with Bleeding Disorders Clinic. So we had a huge patient voice saying that this is an issue, not just in the provincial level, but at a national level. So that's what spearheaded that. This is how we got our nurse on call. So we had zero funding for this until the ministry officials and other people were at the table to hear the need. Hiring of a second pediatric hematologist. There was only one pediatric hematologist covering the entire province of Saskatchewan, which was a huge burden for her. And it wasn't until our Hemophilia Association got involved that we were able to get a second one. And they actually won an award for that at a recent meeting for advocacy. Something that we're working on currently is emergency room alerts. So we have a lot of really unfortunate stories of people coming through the emergency room who advocate for themselves but get ignored, get pushed off, that kind of thing. So Saskatchewan right now is in a bit of a transition. So we're coming up with a province-wide, like a truly province-wide electronic health record. I know that some provinces have that in name, but it doesn't actually exist in real life. But Saskatchewan is aiming to be that way. And actually, as of December, the province of Saskatchewan will become one health region rather than 12. So that allows us to have a broader scope of care and more access to information. And with this emergency room, whenever a patient comes to emergency room, we're almost at the point now where we'll get an immediate text alert and email whenever somebody's registered so that we can respond more quickly. So we can do this in our region, but now that the province is becoming one, this opens up the opportunity to make it a provincial initiative. We have pain, because chronic pain is a huge issue, this is how we got our support groups for men with pain. We developed a pain questionnaire, needle phobia, and how to overcome that was a project that was highly successful, and then pharmacokinetic testing, so we give the right dose at the right interval, was also initiated through this meeting. And this is the short list. This is the last 3 years. So if you can imagine this over the 17-year history, we have a lot of things going on, but it's driven by the patients and the other people in our program largely. So how do we avoid isolation? So in Saskatchewan, because we're in a bit of an economic downturn right now, there's a huge drive not to leave the province for education. So if a nurse in most programs were to submit something to go overseas for a talk or to learn, the answer is no. But because we're the only program, we can't really talk to ourselves. So that's why the network is huge. So there's a physician network nationally, there's a nurse, there's a social worker, physiotherapy network, and so we all attend those, and then every 2 years we all come together for a large networking and learning meeting as well. And because we're the only program, the province is okay with that, so we're exempted from the rules that apply to everybody else. Because we meet everybody, this allows us in between times to consult each other either in person, by telephone, or online, and if we didn't know each other face-to-face, we'd never feel comfortable doing that. And it also allows us to participate in national research studies. Because we're such a small group, it's really hard to drive it out of the province of Saskatchewan itself. David asked me to comment if we had any hard data on better outcomes. I wish we did, but we don't. So it's really just anecdotal. And I just wanted to highlight a few. So just this week, for example, we had a patient visit an ENT surgeon, and she has von Willebrand's disease, and he said, nobody does surgery on von Willebrand's disease patients in this city. That was it, end of story. And so she called us, and so we were able to help facilitate that to make that happen. Advocacy. So we just had somebody who's in their 70s who had heart bypass surgery. So for those of you who aren't familiar with that, if you need heart bypass surgery, they stop your heart, and then they connect you to a machine, and it pumps blood through the machine, and your blood reacts to the machine and it clots. So they have to give you really high doses of blood thinners. So it's quite frightening for patients and the team to give high doses of blood thinners and do surgery on somebody with hemophilia. So we had a multidisciplinary team over the course of a couple weeks with regular meetings and how to figure this out and how to make it happen. And so without our program as a whole, we would never have been able to done that, because it wasn't just me. It was also the nurses talking and the other specialists in our team figuring out how to make this work. We support. So just recently we had a patient give a story about how her five-year-old dreaded needles. It became a thing. It was a three-hour process before school, so they'd have to set up their alarm. They're starting to get to the point where they're trying to pin them down. It was just terrifying. So she met with our social worker, who has a fairly standardized approach on how to get over needle phobia. And when we met with her just last month, she said, now it's just a 10-minute non-issue. He just does it. And so without this kind of resource, this would never have happened. So he would rather have not been treated in the past, but now he's able to get treatment, which has a huge impact on his future. We personalize therapies. So we do the pharmacokinetic data, and then we, if necessary, try and redesign the system. So we're trying to move away from a patient, or I should say, we're moving away from sole reliance on patient advocacy to more of an integrated thing. So it's not just the patient advocating for themselves, but we're also designing the system where the emergency room, as soon as they're registered, will give us an alert. It'll pop up a treatment protocol on the screen when they get to triage, that kind of thing. So they don't have to speak for themselves always, especially if they can't speak for themselves. Some of our challenges, though, a truly provincial program is actually really quite hard. So we're based in Saskatoon, but of course there's other hematologists and other specialists in Regina and in Prince Albert as well. And technically we don't have prescribing rights outside of Saskatoon. So we can send our recommendations to a different city, but they have to be vetted by somebody else, which adds time. And sometimes the treatment recommendations change, or they get lost, or various things, which creates problems. Our program is growing. The province of Saskatchewan is growing. So 10 years ago, Saskatoon was 220,000. Now it's 300,000. And we're noticing that in our numbers as well. But our staff hasn't necessarily increased at the same time. And we're asked to do more with less. So we have more patients, as I said. But every 2 years now, it seems the new rhythm is for Canadian Blood Services to switch products. So instead of this product, now we have to do this. We have to meet all the patients. We have to redo all their blood testing for pharmacokinetic studies, which is an issue. We're doing a transition to a national electronic medical record. So not only do we have our own in-house one, but we have the national one as well, which is difficult. And dentistry and genetics used to attend clinics, but because of fiscal restraints, they can't attend clinics as often anymore. So we're losing a bit of service that way. In terms of managing scarce resources, so our nurses are very good at relocating about to expire product. So they keep track of where each factor is in the province of Saskatchewan, and if it looks like something's going to expire in a month, they'll find a place that will use it, and then they call and they arrange the transfer. We don't officially track how many thousands and thousands of millions of dollars that's saved, but it's about a dollar per unit, and if a standard dose is somewhere to between like 3,000, 4,000, maybe 5,000 units, it really adds up quickly. We have a very consistent approach to prescribing treatment. I think it's one of our strengths. So when a new factor comes out, we all sit down as a group to decide what are the criteria to prescribe this, what are the monitoring. If we decide that a new product actually isn't good, how do we unprescribe that and go to a previous treatment? And then finally, home infusion training, because that's a huge way to get people out of the emergency room so they can treat themselves at home. So in closing, I think the keys to success in our program are a very, very, very close working relationship with the patient advocacy group. We also enjoy a very close working relationship with the ministry. They'll give us a call sometimes and say, hey, we noticed you've used $10,000 of blood this past week. Is this something that will continue for the next month so we can advocate for you? Or is this something that's just a one time? So it's not that they're criticizing us. It's just that they want to know so they can move up the totem pole and make sure we get what we need. And then finally, the annual planning day is fantastic. So regular strategic meeting has been key for us. That is it. I just wanted to say a warm thank you to everybody else in our program, because it's really a group effort that makes this happen. Thanks.